Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with American-Iranian saxophonist and composer Farzin Farhadi. We caught up with him on January 12, 2022 to talk about his new CD with his trio and string quartet called The Cure. We get into the meaning of this album, COVID, and his life and music so far. His melodic blend of jazz pop has been influenced by Wayne Shorter and John Coltrane, minced with the traditional Persian and Middle Eastern music he grew up with. Originally from Iran, he grew up in Washington, D.C., and studied at the Berklee College of Music in Boston before moving to Los Angeles in the early 90s. Dig this story.
Wonderful. Hey, thanks again for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz. Looking forward to talking to you about your music and life in music.
Thank you so much.
So let's start off with your brand new CD, 2022's CD with your trio and string quartet called The Cure. And if there was ever a time on the planet we needed a cure, it's now. How does this feel for this to come out now during this particular time with COVID reemerging and just what we've been through since March of 2020?
Recording was done during the 2021 pandemic COVID period. So it wasn't an easy task to do it because of all the restrictions that was going around. But for me personally, I had lost few friends and family members to this thing. So I was in a very not a good place mentally, emotionally, but also as a musician, from the perspective of my career, I also wasn't in a perfect place, even though all I've done during past 20 years has been music, but I kind of got away from what I started to with, that was performance and playing music. So when I moved to Los Angeles from East Coast, from Boston, I got into writing and arranging for short films and films and music libraries and started producing other people. I just got into the aspect of more of a production. And as more gigs were available and more work came about, I kind of got away from fully concentrating on playing. So I had all this material that I wanted to write, and I never had time to do it. I've written it, but never had the time to work on it, get into the recording and doing it. So for me, that was kind of building up in back of my mind and bothering me, and wanted to make that change in my life anyway. So The Cure, actually, for me personally, what had something to do with that also, the cure for my life, the cure for where I was in a state of mind to change what I was doing and getting to close to where I wanted it to be. So the process of it was more of a cure personally, but also for the time and the COVID period, it was a time that it was totally affecting the music in the way I was looking at it. It wasn't happy time because of personal losses and overall state of the world. So it all came together at the right time, and it was a project that I wanted to do for a while. So since I didn't have any work for that period, it gave me the time and opportunity to work on it and get on it. And hopefully, it will be the cure for me for the coming years to direct more of my energy into playing, performing, and that was what I wanted to do to begin with when I went to music school. So that's how it came about.
So what are you hoping the listener gets in this project?
I believe what I try to do, and I think I have done it, is that I didn't want it to fit into a certain specific genre, because I am not that person. Even though I love jazz and I've been studying it and I've been listening, that's why I play the saxophone, listening to Coltrane and lots of Sonny Rollins and all these guys. But my tradition is not that. I was not born in the United States. I came to the United States when I was 15 years old. So my tradition and background is not jazz. But it has a lot to do with the music jazz, because that's my favorite style of music. I wanted the music to reflect my own personal experience as an individual, to show where I've been, where I come from, my family background, my kind of a mixing up with different cultures and not being from one place, which that's reflects my life story, because I'm an immigrant. So I wanted to reflect and try to find out who I am and what is it that I want to talk about. For me, it's more of a nostalgic idea of the music for me and also as far as sensibilities of melodic and harmonic is more of a jazz. I always loved, and I've done a lot of work with strings, so I wanted to reflect that. I would like the listener to hopefully get a place that when he plays this album, and I'm kind of old school in a way that I like my album to start in a place and keep me around the same mood throughout for an hour, rather than jumping from here to there and all over the places which the business industry these days wants you to do. But I wanted it to be a book, collection of pieces that keeps you in the same energy and mood for a little while. So that's what I'm trying to do. It's more nostalgic and more romantic. And I try to have more of a composition-oriented approach rather than improvisational approach. And if you listen to the pieces, even though there are improvisational parts in there, but the pieces are driven by long improvisations, and it's more centered around the idea of composition and arrangement. So that's what I try to do, and I hope the listeners will get that, even though my next album will be different. But I will try to keep my personality and my where I come from, my tradition in it, which is Persian. I'm Iranian-American. So I have a lot of Eastern music in me, and I studied that, and it comes through my music, hopefully. But I also have listened to jazz, went to Berkeley, studied music for my bachelor and master degree. So I'm trying to be, hopefully, original to myself, which is not an easy thing. That's my goal.
So talk to me about where you were born and raised, and kind of you had talked about, you know, coming to the United States. Talk about your background in music before you came here and where you grew up.
Absolutely. I had absolutely no background in music, not in my family or anywhere close to me. I was born in Iran, so I'm Iranian. But because of the revolution and all the political situation that happened, we had to migrate to the United States for some strange reason, which I don't know what, which I believe, if you believe in reincarnation, which I don't know if I believe in it or not, but I always had a love for the instrument, saxophone, for some strange reason, because it wasn't around me, and absolutely there was no saxophone in traditional Persian music, so it was not around me. So as soon as we got to the United States and I had the opportunity, I rented a saxophone, started to work with it, and since the literature for saxophone is jazz, I started to listening to jazz, and that's how it grew. I studied electrical engineering at first, but then I changed and studied jazz, went to Berkeley. Then I wanted to continue from a master's degree with USC jazz department, so I moved to Los Angeles. That's how it came about. About 10 years, 15 years, I was in East Coast. After Boston, went to New York and Philly and Washington, D.C. Did some playing around there. Studied with a lot of good teachers. Joe Viola, Jerry Berganzi, and a lot of other good ones. And then since I came to Los Angeles, the Hollywood atmosphere of Los Angeles and amount of activities regarding to film and music that is there, so and less jazz, kind of pushed me toward writing and producing. But I kept my quartet, jazz quartet here, kept on playing, experimenting with fusion of ethnic music with tabla and oud and saxophone. I had a trio there that we did a lot of work and a lot of recording. But also kept my jazz, did standards and all of that stuff. But always back up on mind was that I cannot be Kenny Garrett on Branford Marsalis. Those are not my... That's not my tradition. That's not where I come from. So I cannot be as real and in that sense as those individuals. So I'm always trying to figure out what is it that makes me, what is the right blend of elements inside me, so the music will reflect that.
So when you did actually get to the States, what was the first live jazz show you saw that really blew you away?
The first, Wayne Shorter. It was Wayne Shorter, the new Wayne Shorter Quartet, which is not so new now, that's about 20, 25 years past, which completely blew me away, really inspired me. And of course, I before that, I've already got into Coltrane and Miles and all the greats. And I was studying with Herb Smith, a jazz instructor in Northern Virginia Community College, which was a fantastic instructor. He was from Memphis, he still is Memphis, and he came from a fantastic tradition of bebop. So he introduced me to a lot of recording, and I started studying with him privately to get a sense of the essence of jazz, with the feel of it. And he introduced me to all that. But the first show I saw was Wayne Shorter, and it just went way over my head, but intrigued me a lot to get into it deeper and try to understand it. So that's where it started for me.
So what was the culture shock like when you got here? I mean, just from a living standpoint and then, you know, getting into music, how did all of that kind of get groomed in you?
Yeah, you see, as this is a common knowledge, they say, as an immigrant, it takes at least 10 years for you to adapt and understand the environment. So when I got here, not only because of myself, but also my family situation with my parents, because of they lost everything back home, and my father had to start anew in this country with no English, understanding any language. So I was also part of that dilemma, that struggle. So nothing for me was normal for me to kind of get my head around what is that I got to do. So I just kept on going to school, studying, trying to be a good student, studying electrical engineering, or, you know, they wanted to be engineer or doctor. That's a sure thing for everyone. So I was doing that, but yet it took me a while to understand the surrounding. And also, listen, man, jazz is American ethnic music. It's like if I ask you, Joe, would you please come play some of Iranian traditional music? Study it. It is not about the notes. It is more than that. It's about a feel. It's about something that you're born with from your family, your parents, your background. So jazz is a very tough, interesting, and rich genre to get into because, as I said, it's very cultural. So for me, that was quite interesting to get into that. And as I said, Herb Smith, my first instructor, got me very close to that point because of the exposure he gave me. But there were a lot of things happening. As I said, the family situation also was very drastic and crazy. So it took me at least 10 years. So the bottom line is that when I got a scholarship to Berkeley, which I never thought I would get. But when I got to Berkeley, I still couldn't play my major scales. But I recorded Glazunov Concerto, sent them an audition tape, and I got a full scholarship. But I started late, and just getting into the mode of it, it took me a while to understand what is this all about, not only as an instrumentalist, but also as jazz musician. So it's been kind of crazy, but now I feel like I am all mixed up. I'm from nowhere and I'm from everywhere. I cannot relate to one thing, but I also can relate to everything. So it's kind of a crazy vibe to me, an immigrant. I'm not the only one. But also mixing that up with something so rich and deep as jazz, that brings a different layer into one's life. So I've been trying to deal with that and hopefully, and as I said again, try to find myself.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, you're just talking about the struggle and losing everything back home before you came to the States, and I think about what we've all been going through here, you know, in the world since March of 2020. Did kind of the way, the circumstances by which you came here, did it groom you a little, did it make it a little bit relatable?
Oh, absolutely. It's all in context. I mean, for us, for the 2 years that, especially in the United States, because we're so lucky to be here. I mean, it was matter of wearing a mask or staying home. I mean, on a daily basis, where I come from, people are dealing with bombs being dropped on their heads and wars and famines and revolutions. And so that's where I came from. So it's all in context, really, to understand, go through your daily routine. For me, the 2 years, not only because of my background from a different country, but also as a musician, I mean, I work at home. I have a studio at home, and Half of my work day is at home. So I'm being alone and dealing with myself, practicing or working, writing or whatever it is. So for me, the pandemic wasn't that crazy of an idea because I was already at home dealing with myself all day. So it wasn't anything new. But of course, you can't help to see friends die, and this COVID thing is not a pretty thing. But as you mentioned, it's all in the context of what you're used to, what you've seen, and how people in America are used to living well, kind of far away from all that miserable things that happen to the rest of the world. So when something like COVID comes, it's a shock to them, as it should be. But for rest of the world, especially not European, Middle Eastern Africa, or even Far East Asia, I mean, they're dealing with situations every day. I mean, wearing masks, half of the world were wearing masks already for years. I mean, when I used to travel far to Middle East, Dubai or anywhere, people were already wearing masks. So It wasn't anything new for the rest of the world to wear masks. And you realize that the biggest fight in this country is to whether put a mask on or not. So it's all, there's a bubble here that we live in. And that's, I mean, it's its own reality. You can't complain. It is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. So what were those first gigs like when you got to America and you jumped on the bandstand as a full-on jazz musician? How did it feel?
Oh, killer. Destroyed. I was destroyed. Destroying. It was horrible. I could not have sounded worse than I sounded. But because you know how it is. And for a long time, especially when you come to the music at an older age, your understanding of the music is higher than your capability as an instrumentalist. So there's a conflict there. You know how it should sound, but you're not capable of making that sound. So that creates a huge depression, huge depressing period. I remember when I used to practice 8 hours a day. And the funny thing is that I always tell the story. When I was in, it was like Donny McCaslin. I don't know whether you know him, tenor player.
Yeah.
Practicing next to me. And this dude was burning at the age 17. I mean, when he came from Santa Cruz, he was already burning. And he didn't really need to be in school. So for me, Berklee was that exposure to excellence and musicians and student body that were way over my head. So it was kind of a crazy thing. And it still is, tell you the truth, because this thing never ends. I mean, you are never as good as you want to be. And you're always searching for the next thing. I mean, I finish the album, and whatever the album I finish, after I'm done with it, I don't listen to it anymore. I'm already done with it. I'm gone. So it's a never-ending story with music. So the first gigs were not good. Even after the first gigs were not good. But I guess I'm feeling more comfortable now, more in my own skin, finding my own way around it and trying to be more comfortable with who I am and what I'm trying to do.
What is it that you enjoy the best about being a professional musician? I mean, you mentioned, you know, getting into engineering and other options that you could have gotten into. You're a musician. What's the greatest part of this for you?
For me, it's always been the freedom, man. Freedom of expression. And the fact that there is not a mold that you fit into in every other occupation. There's a path and a mold, let's say engineering. When you get into school, you already know the next 50 years of your life, what's going to happen. You're going to graduate, you're going to find a job, you're going to get into a corporation or whatever. With any form of arts, now that we're speaking music, for example, there's no mold, there's no path. You have to find your own path, and no one's path is the same as the other. You cannot compare. For some people, it happens one way. For another people, it happens another way, complete opposite way. And the fact that you are dealing with yourself all day, every day, and your biggest enemy and your biggest friend is yourself, it's a huge psychological trip and growth which comes with it. So for me, music or any form of art is really trying to find yourself and using that tool, the art or music, whatever, to get yourself, find the truth in yourself, and to try to reflect and communicate through that medium. And hopefully you can communicate with some people. So for me, that's the best thing about music, to be free and to just communicate with others and give service, actually, make other people happy.
So as we go further and further into 2022, hopefully things get better, the variant goes away, and we find a way to kind of get a foothold on things. And when that does happen, what do you hope we all realize about the power of live music when you get back on stage and we get back into the crowd? And kind of in general, how do you see the world of the jazz community coming back stronger after all this?
I think hopefully people will realize that interaction, human interaction, is the most enjoyable situation. It's the most enjoyable experience, human interaction, rather than watching your phone and being in social media and all of that nonsense, fake stuff. When you hear music happens in front of you, the energy, because even recording does not capture that energy as well. The energy that happens in a room with a live band at the moment, which is different every day. There's a different energy with this band today than the same band tomorrow, because it's now, it's happening right now. That energy connects, and feeling that energy, it's fantastic for audience. And hopefully this situation, and I know music business these days is not doing that well and has not been doing that well for a long time now, hopefully brings people back to the venues and the jazz clubs, and to hear and experience that moment, the moment that they're in. Hopefully pandemic will teach us that.
My final question to you is this. Everyone has a perception or an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of you. Who do you think you are?
I am a mixture of a lot of things. I'm confused as everyone else. The most important thing to me is human relationships. There's nothing beyond that. Even art, music, everything else serves for me to communicate and to be a better human in relationship with other human beings. If I live alone on an island, none of this would matter. None of it would make sense. So for me, the growth is to be a better human being, and hopefully my music becomes better to communicate that feelings from me to others. Make other people feel better, even if it's for an hour show. Even for 1 hour, if they come to my show and they leave that venue feeling better than when they came in, I have succeeded. But for me, it's a confusion, man. And through confusion, we move forward. We struggle, but yet we open new doors. For me, it's always going to be searching and exploring about myself and hope, and with the music, which is connected to me. That's my goal.
Beautiful. Hey, man, thank you for opening up today. Thanks for taking some time out. Happy New Year and good luck as we move into this new year of ours.
Thank you so much, Joseph.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Iran, Los Angeles, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Farzin for his time, music, and stories. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.